In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. These past 5 weeks, we have had the opportunity to learn from the Proverbs. We learned what it meant to fear the Lord. And although it took 30 minutes to learn it, we learned what it means to be faithful in our relationships on earth, but also faithful to our Lord in heaven. We learn that it is pleasing to God to work diligently with our hands and to lift up our neighbor with our words. We learn that the will of God is always good and wise, and that we can entrust all things to his care. We learn that we are to be loving, kind, and live with integrity in our marriages, and that we are to train up our children in the faith in the home. We learn that a virtuous life is one of humility and contentment. All of this is wisdom. But there is one more thing that we have yet to talk about. In fact, I have been keeping a secret from you all since Ash Wednesday, a piece of wisdom that surpasses all others. I have heard many over these past few weeks tell me, "Those were such wonderful sermons, Vicar. I felt really impacted by them." And though my heart would often give thanks to God for the work of his Holy Spirit in opening your ears and guiding us, my heart would also break. It would break for all of you, because I have been holding on to this secret, and I can hold on to it no longer. Here's the secret. None of this matters. All the preaching on wisdom, learning on how to better love your spouse and raise your kids, all the things that we have learned these past 5 weeks don't matter. This is the lesson Solomon himself learned at the end of his life. Let me explain. Solomon, the son of David, was asked by God to ask for whatever he wished. It could be riches, wives, greatness, whatever. Solomon asked for wisdom. From this wisdom, Solomon was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write down all that he has come to understand by this wisdom. As a young man, Solomon wrote the Songs of Solomon, which is a poetic description of marriage and an excellent depiction of Christ's love for his church. It makes sense that a young and wise Solomon would write such an uplifting piece of poetry. When you're young and in love, everything seems wonderful. Now fast forward to an older Solomon. He's ruled for some time, and he has lived with this divine wisdom that God has given him. He was inspired to write the Proverbs that we have gone over. This also makes sense, seeing that Solomon has lived life, he has matured some, and is now able to articulate what he has grasped with wisdom. But there is one more book that Solomon wrote. Fast forward to an even older Solomon. Old, wizened, and by this point, despite all his wisdom, has made many mistakes. It is in this light that Solomon writes Ecclesiastes. This is something like an epilogue to the Proverbs. Solomon tells us the aftermath of all his searching for wisdom and learning. Ecclesiastes looks at two things: vanity, and what does man get for his toil under the sun? Solomon has come to discover in his old age that everything we strive for is vanity, and that it doesn't matter how much you accomplish or perhaps don't accomplish in this life, death comes to us all the same. And he says the same thing about wisdom. He says, "I, the preacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem, and I set my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all that is done under heaven, this burdensome task God has given to the sons of man by which they may be exercised. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and indeed all is vanity and grasping for the wind. What is crooked cannot be made straight, and what is lacking cannot be numbered. I communed with my heart, saying, 'Look, I have attained greatness and have gained more wisdom than all who were before me in Jerusalem. My heart has understood great wisdom and knowledge.' And I set my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceived that this is also grasping for the wind. For in much wisdom is much grief, and he who increases knowledge increases sorrow. This is the great secret that I have kept from you. It doesn't matter how much wisdom you attain or how diligently you work in your vocation. It doesn't matter, because it will all fade away. Solomon has come to understand that all is vanity, and that the pursuit of wisdom has given him nothing but sorrow, that it is grasping for the wind, and what is lacking cannot be counted, and what is crooked cannot be made straight. And this isn't just Solomon being cynical either. This isn't just some philosophical work written by the brightest minds. This is an inspired book of the scriptures. This is something that the Holy Spirit, through Solomon, wished to convey to us. Solomon also wished to convey to us the one thing that occurs to all, regardless of age or race, social status or wealth, clean or unclean, righteous or unrighteous: death. He says, "This is an evil in all that is done under the sun, that one thing happens to all. Truly the hearts of the sons of men are full of evil. Madness is in their hearts while they live, and after that they go to the dead. But for him who is joined to all the living, there is hope, for a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing, and they have no more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love, their hate, and their envy have now perished. Never more will they have a share in anything done under the sun." And that is the other part of this secret that I have kept from you. Not only will the wisdom you learn fade away and the works that you do vanish like the wind, but so will you. It comes to all of us eventually, and it buries everything about us. When you die, you will be forgotten. Maybe for a while, those who are still living will still remember us for whatever reason. It could be children. It could be grandchildren. It could be close friends, whoever. Maybe you'll be remembered for your kindness, your honesty. Or maybe you'll be remembered for your anger and your spite. Only you and the people who know you will know what you will be remembered for. But one day, you will be forgotten. Because we all pass away. Even those who hold on to your memory will eventually die too, leaving your memory to fade away. And whatever it is that you have built will crumble into dust. So why pursue wisdom at all then? What is the point of it all if it comes to nothing shortly after you die? There isn't one. All the practical things that we might have learned from the Proverbs this Lent season will do nothing for you other than slightly improve your life while you still walk this earth. And that isn't necessarily a bad thing. But your time on this earth is much shorter than your time in the grave. That is why Solomon calls the pursuit of wisdom vanity or a vapor. As soon as it comes about or is achieved, it disappears. Just like the wind, just like a vapor. And wisdom is not the only vanity or vapor out there. What do we pursue in our lives that are a vapor? Money? Power? A smooth and easy retirement? Our families? Knowledge and wisdom and prestige? These things are all vanities because they become our God. We elevate them in our hearts, though they are transient and fleeting. But you may say that, well, there's a life after this one, and indeed there is. But how does one get there? Is it through being wise? Because there's no way a single person in this life, even Solomon himself, will get into heaven because of their wisdom. Wisdom will only help you so much now, and it will do nothing for you in the life to come. Your works in this life are vain, for the dead will know nothing, and they will have no reward,
for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love, their hatred, and their envy have now perished. Nevermore will they have a share in anything done under the sun." And that is all there is to it. For the young and strong among us, maybe you don't see this as a big deal. You think that you got plenty of time. Make no mistake, death will come for you too. For the old and the frail among us, maybe you are looking back now on your legacy, and you are seeing that death is drawing closer each and every single day. Make no mistake, your legacy one day will be forgotten. There is truly nothing more disheartening than seeing that the fruit of all our labor, all the wisdom we have learned, and the road that we have tried to walk comes to nothing. That death comes for us all. This is most certainly true. How helpless we are, even now. But God is very aware of how helpless we are against sin and against death. He is aware that we cannot grasp true wisdom to aid us. So he sent his only begotten Son to show us true wisdom. And he has. As we explored this past Lent in our Sunday sermons and midweek sermons, that wisdom is not just practical advice of training up a child to lead a good life or finding the ideal woman. These things are all well and good. But these proverbs ultimately are about Jesus and are fulfilled in Jesus. And as was stated a few times over the course of these midweek services, wisdom is not just about the practical, but wisdom is Jesus and revolves around Jesus. This week is Holy Week, and today is Maundy Thursday. Throughout Lent, we see Christ demonstrate that he is wisdom, that he forgives sins, that he teaches the people, that he heals, and tonight he will demonstrate his wisdom once again. On the night when he was betrayed, Christ broke bread, blessed it, and said, "This is my body." And he took wine and said, "This is my blood for the forgiveness of your sins." What? You mean in a symbolic sense? How can bread and wine be body and blood? How can these mere elements forgive sins? It's a symbolic sense, right? Absolutely not. When Christ, the ultimate wisdom, uses his words, his divine wisdom, it does exactly what it says. When he says is, the bread and the wine truly become the body and the blood. What kind of wisdom is that? That sounds dumb and foolish. Also on this night, he took off his robes and washed the feet of the disciples. The King of glory, the Son of God, washing the feet of sinners. Absolute foolishness. You know what else is dumb and foolish? That God the Father would send his only Son to die for you and for me. Because there is nothing about us worth dying for. We have demonstrated time and again that there is no wisdom in us, and any that we may have will do nothing against our sins, our flesh, and death. Christ is certainly worth more than the whole of humanity. We are simply getting what we deserve. Yet Christ, in his wisdom, dies for us. He is nailed to a cross and pays the price for our foolishness and our vanity. That's what Christ's wisdom led him to. Death for a bunch of foolish people. His end was the same as ours. But that is not quite the case. Because Christ would rise again from the grave and be glorified, and because of this, we are atoned for. And with the power of the Holy Spirit, we believe that, and that is true wisdom. True wisdom is living by faith and not by sight, that we take everything our Lord says at his word. And when he says our sins are forgiven and our foolishness is pardoned, then that is exactly what happens. This may seem dumb and foolish to our earthly senses, to our worldly, sinful senses, but to God, it is the ultimate wisdom. And because of Christ, this true wisdom, everything changes. We may still die, but our lives on this side of eternity now have purpose. We are saved, and because of this salvation, that practical wisdom now matters after all, because it serves our neighbor. It is good that we train up our children in the way that they should go. It is good that we pursue goodness and virtue. It's good to do all that because it is part of the forgiven Christian life that we now get to live. Our legacies and all the things we may have built up over our lives may fade away and be forgotten. We may be forgotten. But Christ will not forget you. When your time comes to enter the grave, he will remember you, and he will raise you up, and you will bask in his true wisdom. Remember that this Sunday as we celebrate his resurrection. Remember that this evening as Christ gives to you a token of his promise of the forgiveness of sins in his body and blood, in and with this bread and this wine. As Solomon says in Ecclesiastes, go, eat your bread with joy and drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has already accepted your works. Let your garments always be white, and let your head lack no oil. So, eat the bread that is Christ's body with joy, and drink the wine that is Christ's blood with a merry heart. For God has already accepted your works, works that were not your own, but were Christ's. That is true wisdom. Amen. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us always.